Amazon.com. It works.
A fabulous weekend. It's back to reality for many of us. Maybe you worked all the way through the weekend. I guess we live in an ever-changing world. How many people are 9 to 5? We are. Woohoo! At least 30 million people are third shifters, and we're proud to say we have a piece of that third shift. It's about the water cooler buzz. My name's Kate Delaney. If you're just hearing us for the first time, stay locked and loaded as we zig and zag all over the place. It's kind of a crazy ride. We're like, ADD. In other words, all over the map. And boy, is there a lot to talk about. Creating water cooler buzz, pretty easy these days. It includes a couple of things, and WikiLeaks on the mind of many. Do you know what WikiLeaks.org is if you have access to a computer? Because, hey, some people are anti-internet. And then go to your local library. Be curiosity, if nothing else. Secret documents posted from the Afghanistan war, classified stuff. And really what happened here is you had an army private who leaked video of a Fallujah attack, and now he's locked up in solitary in Virginia while this is all sorted out. And when I say while it's all sorted out, I'm talking about the leaks and where the leaks came from as far as the website getting the leaks. And apparently two people who worked for the organization gave the army private Manning the software he needed to encrypt it, to get the information and push it forward. So he's done. He's done with his military career, but it's a question of who the other people were and whether or not criminally the Justice Department is going to go after them. And Afghanistan, at this point, they're talking about a pullout. They're talking about a small troop pullout in 2011. So what does that mean? They're talking about modest gains in the Afghanistan war. Boy, modest just doesn't sound good when you're talking about, you know, what are the goals? Oh, modest goals, modest gains so far. That's not a good word to use when you're talking about war, and when you're talking about a war that a lot of people are starting to grow tired of and very skittish and critical of. When you read things like you read in the 92,000 plus documents on WikiLeaks.org. Here's what Robert Gates had to say, the latest anyway, on this whole mess.
Mortified, appalled. If I'm angry, it is because I believe that this information puts those in Afghanistan who have helped us at risk. It puts our soldiers at risk. They have put this out without any regard whatsoever for the consequences. One is legal culpability, and that's up to the Justice Department and others. That's not my arena. But there's also a moral culpability, and that's where I think the verdict is guilty. I want those kids out there to have all the information they can have. And so we're going to look at, are there ways in which we can mitigate the risk, but without denying the forward soldiers the information?
All right, and see, that's the key thing that he explained there. They need the information. So how, moving forward, how do you do that? So the information is there, but it's not compromised again. And is there a moral culpability? This goes to the heart of what we might not agree with. The freedom of information, the freedom of the press, even though the definition of a journalist and press is convoluted, if anything, these days. But WikiLeaks.org has a very definite intent, and it's to expose whatever is worth exposing in the mind of the founder. And in the case of the Afghanistan classified documents, it was riddled with names and operations and very specific things in one sense when it came to the people from the villages. So nobody likes a snitch, especially the Taliban, who've released a statement saying, okay, the people that cooperated with the U.S. and rolled on us, look out. That spells to me, oh, forget about it. Why would anybody in these villages, knowing how what savage the Taliban can be, why would they cooperate with coalition forces to risk their families' lives and their life? And the answer is they're not going to. Probably the information process is going to come to a screeching halt, or at least very slow. The people are going to have to be guaranteed, some of them anyway, that they would could have a new life if they cooperated and gave coordinates of where somebody was or where some of the Taliban was, which is, that's the kind of things that were happening. And you can forget that at this point. Man. All right, we don't want to just focus on the Afghanistan woes, although it's pretty significant. But how about the idea of the double-dip recession? Boy, when I think of the word double-dip, I think of good things. And they go, ooh, that's bad to do that in that dip, but it was so good. He brought it to the Super Bowl party, and we can't keep our hands off of it. Or, you know, whoops, I busted you double-dipping in the peanut butter jar or whatever. But double-dip is the back-to-back recessions, as we know. And I think this, the whole warnings are becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, that enough people are starting to be worried that they're holding on pretty tightly to their money. So you had consumer spending that accounted for two-thirds of economic activity this last time around. Anything further rattles, I think, you and me, we're the consumers. You can forget about recovery. You can forget about that hope, because the fact that you've got unemployment number almost at 10%, and then you've got this Friday government report of U.S. economic growth slowed to 2.4% from April to May. That is down from 3.7% in the previous quarter. And there's lots of ammunition to put in this gun of the whole double dip thing. And this road is definitely going to be bumpy unless you've find yourself in the particular niche that works and you have extra padding, you have that extra money. I think it's the people especially that live check to check where it's a little scarier and they've got these mortgages and everything else that comes along with the mortgage, however many car payments and whatever children they have, and all of a sudden what's coming in is going immediately out, right? All right, coming up on the flip side, it is Shark Week on the Discovery Channel, and there have been some shark sightings in New Jersey and Massachusetts. I thought the water was too cold, especially in Massachusetts.
Nine years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula, and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
Cape Cod, and then there's a great white sighting. I don't know. I know people will go back into the water when that happens, after, as long as it's cleared. But I think I gotta admit, I'd be a little bit of a sissy there. I think I would, or maybe it's not being a sissy. I think that'd be enough to scare me out of the water. And it's interesting because the timing, Discovery has a thing called Shark Week, and it's fascinating to learn about the creatures. And I think part of the idea is they'll have segments where people are swimming with the sharks and they insist they're not bad creatures when you're in the sea. It's when you're in their territory and things you can do so you don't look like a seal when you're on the surfboard and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, the sighting caught a lot of people's attention, and here's what some of them had to say.
Look at it this way. I'm 74 years old. If the sharks want an old piece of meat like me, they can have it.
They scare me a little bit, but right now, since I'm with my dad, I'm not very scared.
We're not going to go very deep, and we're going to keep our eyes open.
Yeah, that not going very deep is not a solution, because a lot of the shark attacks happen sometimes in just ankle-deep water or knee-deep water. At a place called Cocoa Beach, Florida, a lot of the surfers are attacked, and sometimes it's just when they're coming in, not even anywhere deep, and keeping the eyes open. It's albeit not a bad solution, one that probably wouldn't work. Matt, have you ever been swimming? I know you're in the land of 10 trillion lakes, but have you ever been swimming where sharks would be where you are? Have you ever encountered a shark?
When I was in Mexico, I swam with, I don't know what kind of a shark it was, but it was a little baby shark where we were swimming with them, and its little, it had a pen in the ocean.
Mm.
So it was
really
tamed. Yeah.
How cool is that? Was that, so that must have been a different experience.
Yeah, definitely. I can't remember what kind of a shark it was, though. I should figure that out.
I wonder if it was.
It was a small one.
Small hammerhead?
No, it wasn't a hammerhead. It was a smaller. I don't know if it was like a small, like tiger shark or something like that. I got to do some research, I guess, on what shark it would have been.
All right, so Matt has actually done it in a caged environment. You know, the cage thing, whether inside or outside of the cage, is a big deal. And in South Africa, which is like Great White Alley, people will pay and they'll be put in the little tin can, I call it. And then the sharks, that's the whole idea that you're swimming with the sharks. There's no guarantee even for that they can say you're going to safely be okay. But I'd say you're a lot safer inside a framed thing designed to keep sharks out versus just free-forming it. And in Cape Cod, there was a shark sighting, and they let people, or tried to let them, they tried to get them off the beach, and that's pretty much all you can do there when that happens. There's also some sharks sighted off in New Jersey, and they cleared the beach and figured out about the shark. It was a decent sized shark, but it wasn't a great white. And, you know, it's all that thrashing and splashing around. That's why you see people be very still when the sharks come around them. So there's a little easy tip for you. If someone told me they saw a shark and everybody's getting out of the water, you can count me out for the day. I'll be the person who runs up and gets the sodas or the snacks or, you know, whatever. I have to bring this up because we're always talking about money, 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 and the incredible debt. $2.4 trillion. 50 states have racked up that much in bond debt during this economic downturn. So it's not just me and America Tonight and talking about this and talking about the government, but also 50 states. Add that on, so nationally what we have going, and my calculator doesn't even have those numbers. The highest level of state and local indebtedness, they say, in history. Whew. So it's not even that much better on the state and local level. Now consuming 22% of the annual gross domestic product. Oh, my, oh, my. And this is a ticking time bomb. So we have the inept federal government, the problems financially, and now we have the state and local problems too. I mean, 22% of the nation's annual gross domestic product, that's pretty big. But they want a bigger slice of the pie than ever before. So what does that mean? It means that the municipal bond debt that cities, counties, and states accumulate to be used to pay for major infrastructure projects, toll roads, airports, bridges, water, sewage, treatment plants, all that kind of stuff, they can have too much debt, can drain more money from the federal coffers when members of Congress try to stave off massive layoffs that can happen when to states by the balance, by not balancing their budgets. Boy, who wants to be in that situation in the first place? You know, the stimulus bill did something that was interesting with state and federal budgets. Originally, it was priced at $787 billion. The CBO revised the true cost of the plan or the bill upwards nearly 10% in January of 2010. The new cost is now $862 billion. The bill contained over $100 billion in direct and states, most of it to stave off layoffs in law enforcement and education, which is a good thing. Because, listen, where are you if you don't have police patrolling in the neighborhood? I can't tell you how many times I've been relieved to see them or actually had something happen where they responded in the cities that I lived in no time flat. And it's always frightening to me when you read the headlines about staff reductions, and that's what they've done with the police department. Boy, if you got to cut somewhere, especially the guy on the street, that's the last place I think you want to cut. And Alan Greenspan just cannot help himself. The former Federal Reserve Chairman is warning that the recovery is past. It feels like a quasi-recession and that a double-dip one is possible if home prices continue to plunge, which they're going to plunge. If you look around the neighborhoods, drive around, see what's up for sale, see what's even getting a look. And these are very, very tough times in the housing industry. That's another great indicator of how things are doing. If things are doing well, the housing industry is booming. If they're not, the housing industry has taken a very big, big cut. So Greenspan doesn't do much for anybody, but he warns that, this is double dip is possible if home prices continue to plunge. He said another downturn or a so-called double dip was possible if home prices go down. And of course, I think that's what people are trying to do. They're trying to unload a home because they have another job someplace else. They're trying to move. They're unloading that house. That's what they're going to do. Full speed ahead. Boy, it's so much easier. You got to get one of those jobs where they come in and they pack everything and poof, presto, it's gone like that and you don't have to deal with it. That's the way to go. If you can fly that way, fly that way. Let somebody else do the heavy lifting and you just chill till they get it all in the house. Hang with us. Much more to come on this information highway.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
10 years.
Genesis.
A decade of talk.
Genesis.
Great talk radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
Gulf War vets,
9/11 workers,
people around the Gulf oil spill fumes,
all were exposed to toxic chemicals in the air and became ill.
Even in your home, air contamination can make you sick.
You have been exposed to airborne toxic particulate matter and volatile organic compounds causing fatigue, flu-like symptoms, or worse.
Protect yourself.
You cannot trust anyone to do it for you. Clean the air in your home or workplace with a HealthMate Plus air purifier. Call airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to purify the air you breathe. free. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Your trusted advisor for clean air.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
We cut the legs off of our pen, threw our feet into the ocean, back and way through the daylight.
When the guy who runs WikiLeaks.org said, "I enjoy crushing bastards, so it's enjoyable work," he was talking about what pleasure he derives from publishing documents like the 92,000 classified military reports on Afghanistan that's making headlines around the world, naturally. Most of what's come out is there were some civilian operations that we hadn't heard about. There were informants' names loosely revealed in the documents, and the same thing with some of the troops, which is the sad part, because they're the ones that get burned in this whole thing should the Taliban or someone else decide to connect the dots and retaliate. And then it becomes a question of privacy, freedom of the press. You know, there's a million angles to the whole leak thing. My take on it was, shame on the Pentagon that the access was that easy. I mean, for goodness sake, who are they screening and who has their hands on all of these classified reports? And the answer to that is, you gotta hang with me here on this one, it's a little convoluted, but the one guy is Bradley Manning, who I mentioned before we stepped aside. He's the guy who released the Fallujah video. If you can think back to that, we talked about it a ton on ATN. Well, then the classified documents start to flow on WikiLeaks. And what the deal is a former computer hacker tipped off the feds to what was going on with Manning. And he said there was actually two men in Boston that have said that they've assisted. They're guys who went to MIT. Now, the computer hacker wouldn't identify them because he said at least one of them has threatened him. One of the men said they gave encryption software to Manning. They talked to him, convinced him, whatever, gave him the software, and taught the Army private how he could get the classified documents, how to use it. So Manning was an Army intelligence analyst. I already told you this. He's locked away. He's charged with the airstrike thing, and now he's the prime suspect in the disclosure of thousands of field reports, because they were field reports specifically, the classified stuff from the war in Afghanistan. So you got both men who are working for WikiLeaks and then this Army private. So, and they're all friends on Facebook. Now, the New York Times reported that the Army is looking into the leak, naturally, and they're expanding it to friends and other people who have helped Manning. So the two civilians claim that they're the ones that gave him the software, met with him, talked to him, exchanged emails with him about security issues, and what took off from there. So basically they flipped him, I guess, is what I would say. Hey, dude, listen, we want to get these documents. Here's what you can do. He has an axe to grind, whatever. That doesn't matter, because still, it's Manning who decided to take the leap and do it. He decided to go ahead and leak videos and leak the documents. I mean, he's done. He's absolutely done, because they have him nailed. That's why he's in solitary confinement. It's over with. Whatever was going on with him and the Army is history. But you can't take back what's already out there. Does this help or hinder the situation in Afghanistan? I think it hinders the situation as far as the informants are concerned, because who would gain any trust you've gained, who's going to want to give you that trust again? And we've been over this territory, and everybody's talking about it. It's the obvious, I call it the low-hanging fruit. It's the obvious thing when you look at what documents were leaked. That's the first thing I think that comes to your mind. And then the other is, here we go again with this big, bad government. They can't even, they don't know which end is up. They can't even figure out who's got their hands on the documents and how easy it is to hack into them with some software. Nothing is 100%. Nothing is fail-safe. But for goodness sake, you have an Army private who's able to get his hands on the field reports. Come on. That means too many eyes are on it. That means there's no security system in there. Shouldn't the government, shouldn't the Pentagon have one of the better security systems that they could possibly have? Wouldn't they spend money on that? Wouldn't they have the best that there is to offer? And the answer to that question should be yes, but of course it's not. So, in moving forward, how does this kill the efforts in Afghanistan, or does it? Originally, a week ago, when I jumped on the air and this was the big story, the water cooler buzz that I like to call it, well, you had people from the Pentagon saying, well, it's going to take us a couple of weeks to sift through what was really the information that was leaked, but it's nothing that is earth-shattering. It's nothing that is going to blow this gig apart. And now they're taking it back a little bit, because you find out, oh yeah, informants are named and troops flat out are named, and that can't be good for people who are in the field. It's like list. It's like handing over a list of, okay, here's the villages and here are some of the people who are helping the coalition forces. You put two and two together and there's your answer. So in the middle of what's happened with the leaks with the Pentagon, and is anything going to happen, you've got, sadly, one of the worst months in Afghanistan as far as troop loss is concerned, six U.S. service members killed in southern Afghanistan. I mean, that's the hairiest area of them all in this whole war effort in the last 2 days. So it's made the death toll in July the worst since the war started 9 years ago. Friday, heading into the weekend, you had one soldier who was killed in an insurgent attack, two others in an improvised explosive device strike, too many of those. And NATO's International Security Assistance Force also said that IEDs killed a couple of troops in another fracas, and another soldier died in another IED attack. Pretty much most of them fell down that way. So their deaths bring the July total to 66. 88 international soldiers, including Americans, have died this month. And you keep tracing it back to the deadly evil nonsense under the ground or hidden away, and it's the IEDs. That's the fatal thing that happened in Iraq and in Afghanistan that has to be dealt with. The bigger tanks, the tanks that can try to spot the IEDs, all that stuff helps. But the Taliban, this is what they do. They know it still works. Homemade bombs is the weapon of choice, no question about it. So, sure, the military does raids, and they try to track down the guys who were staging the attacks, the Taliban or Islamic terrorists or whatever you want to name them, but it's really Taliban in the case of Afghanistan, that are perpetrating this. But it's a hard thing to do, especially when you don't have the intel on them. And boy, it's grim statistics with this strategy that is, I think, a bungled strategy in the war effort. Doesn't make for warm, fuzzy feelings at home. Now more than ever, you're hearing a lot of people that agreed with the situation. Okay, we got to go in. We have to do what we can to kill Taliban, to kill Al-Qaeda, to get information, whatever. Because ultimately, if you trace it back to the United States, won't this keep us safer? You wouldn't have as many sleeper cells, maybe. You do whatever you can to hack off every limb, in other words. And you had the critical thing that happened when McChrystal was dismissed because of what he said in the Rolling Stone magazine. Then you plop in General Petraeus, who was initially described as General Petraeus, and suddenly he's the guy. So there have been a lot of disconcerting things to hurt the morale of the military. But, you know, here's the question. As I tell you all this, and we talk about the leaks and what's out there and the informants and the deadliest month at 66 and what's the strategy, what's the end game, are any of you who think we should be in Afghanistan changing your mind? When you listen to all of this, when you listen to secret attacks that we knew nothing about, when you hear about some of what's happening with the opium fields, does that make you think, maybe I was wrong in thinking we should stay? Maybe this is a time to think about that real end date. So far, by the way, 1,700 U.S. and coalition troops have died in Afghanistan. All right, you can throw in your 2 cents. Have you flipped on the Afghanistan war, or is it steady the course no matter what's coming at you? 800-259-5791. Plus, we're going to check the mail on the flip side.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com. Wow.
You take your lunch to work, your dinner to work, and then you take it and you throw the sack back in the fridge. And then what happens to that refrigerator? I have never, sad to say, I have never worked for a broadcast organization, radio, television, newspaper, new technology. I haven't worked for any of them, that meaning of the IPTV group I used to work for. I've never worked for any of them where the refrigerator was spotless, where people ate their lunch, threw it away, took whatever home, and you didn't have crazy mold growing in the fridge and rotten fruit and all that kind of stuff. Or you had people not, you know, you always had people in there eating it too, and I thought, wow, how does anyone get into the stinky, awful refrigerator and eat their own stuff, let alone somebody else's? Makes no sense to me. So who better to have on the show than somebody who's examining this very thing? And if this stuff makes you sick, but our pal Greg Stebbin from Men's Health Magazine. He's one of the editors there. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm good. Just chowing down on a sandwich here. What's this thing on it here? This funny colored thing.
Hey, come on. You know, listen, you've worked in the media industry for a while, too. And you know, have you worked in places where people really took care of the fridge, or have you had the same experience as me?
Well, let me tell you, part of the inspiration for this story is I actually work remotely for Men's Health, but I do work in an office. I rent an office. And the refrigerator in this shared office died, and I was the only one that figured it out. People kept putting their food in it. I'm complaining to management about replacing the refrigerator, And people are still, I mean, it's as warm in the refrigerator as it is in the office. And, you know, I was making a sign to say, don't use this anymore. And this, before I could put the sign up, this woman said to me, do you think my fish will be okay in there? Like, the refrigerator doesn't work. It hasn't worked for a week. You haven't figured that out? And people were still eating the food from it. And already people were getting sick because I had been sick for a couple of weeks because it took me a while to figure out why the refrigerator was slowly dying. So it took a while to figure out. It was cool, but it wasn't cold enough. And the only thing I used in the refrigerator, because it was pretty awful, was milk. And the milk was making me sick. So I had to be sick for a couple of weeks.
Wow. And I bet there's other people, the same thing. They have no idea that that's what's making them sick. They're not paying attention. They're blinded by the whole thing, and they just heave whatever it is in the refrigerator.
And that's the interesting thing, is it's disgusting in there. So you open the door, and you just don't even look or anything. You just kind of shove your food in there, and later you open and you grab it. But you somehow think that even though inside that refrigerator is completely skanky, that because you wrapped your food in Tupperware, that it's immune from all the germs that are living and swimming in there. And it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no kidding. And I guess you found out in all this, I was stunned to read this with a note that you sent me, that is this true? The bathroom at work could be a cleaner place than the shared office kitchen, huh?
It is, and it actually makes sense. I'll explain why. So, first of all, I'm not suggesting that you begin keeping your lunch in the bathroom. The point here just is that your office bathroom may actually be cleaner. And here's part of what's happened, is as the economy got tight, for one thing, more and more people are taking their lunches to work. That means more and more people are using the refrigerator. That means you stick your stuff in there, and it gets pushed to the back, so you could forget about it like everybody else, and so stuff ends up disappearing in the refrigerator for longer. That's part of the skank factor. The other thing is refrigerators, just by nature, if you overfill them, nothing gets chilled properly, because the whole way a refrigerator works is it's cold air moving over the food. Well, as more people bring their lunch, they say about 70% of people now are eating at their desk, as more people bring their lunch, refrigerators are getting fuller, and so that's part of the problem, is nobody's food is chilling correctly because the refrigerators are overfilled. And the third thing is, as the economy gets rough, companies cut their custodial budgets, and now nobody has the job of actually cleaning the refrigerator. But here's where the bathroom part comes in. The bathroom actually gets cleaned every day, so it makes sense that the bathroom would have less germs than the refrigerator, because one gets cleaned every day and the other might get cleaned once or twice a year.
Oh, that's depressing.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, so what do you advise? I'm thinking you take like a little cool, one of those cooler things.
Well, you may have to resort to that, but I'll tell you what's actually, you can kind of take this into your own hands. So the first thing is, do not decide that you're going to be the one who volunteers to clean the refrigerator and go throw everything out that looks rotten, because this may surprise you, but that may be the invitation to something like a lawsuit.
Really?
That's people's property, whether it's of value to you or not. You know, anybody can file a lawsuit, and that has happened. The people have emptied out refrigerators, and the next thing you know, they're in court defending themselves. So you need to go through the proper authorities, and here's how you win in this kind of battle. Here's how you get the company to take responsibility for that skanky refrigerator. You go to HR, or you go to management, and you use these magic words. You say, I think the state of the company refrigerator is affecting productivity and causing us to have more sick days than necessary. People in HR and management, they're all about productivity and reducing sick days, and you just pointed out a problem. And the fix does not have to be something expensive. You could volunteer to be the one who cleans the refrigerator every Friday and throws out everything that's leftovers. And the first time you do it, it may be unpleasant, but every week thereafter, you're only cleaning out food that's a few days old. And it really is that simple. You put a sign on the refrigerator with permission of HR or management that says the fridge will be cleaned out every Friday. You know, you include in the sign that you're not throwing out salad dressing and ketchup and other condiments, you're throwing out leftovers and the containers, and now everybody's been warned, but you want to make sure that you go through the proper authorities.
All right, that's good. That's good advice, because I can, before you came on, I told the story where we were actually timing when lunches and things were disappearing too from refrigerators that were really skanky, awful. I don't know why anybody would eat the stuff out of their kind of fridges, and it became a big war. It really did, and there were signs all over the place and memos all over the place, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, I can't believe somebody else pilfers somebody's half-eaten lunch. What are they
thinking? People were stealing other people's lunches. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you another thing that's really useful is if everybody take a pen like a Sharpie, put it on a piece of string, tape it or tie it to the door of the refrigerator, to the handle, and then if just get people in the habit of writing their name, the date, and the word save on anything they put in the refrigerator. Come Friday, if it doesn't have a name, a date, and the word save, it makes it that much easier to toss it. Once people begin to take responsibility for their food and it has to have their name on it, they're a lot better at cleaning it out, so it doesn't turn into a month-old science experiment, too.
Yeah, and that'd be so embarrassing, too, if everybody realized you did that.
You're the one that put that thing in there.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Greg, thanks. We'll tell everyone to go to menshealth.com. It's a terrific magazine. I always go to Barnes & Noble, and I'm looking up the stuff you guys are writing about because it's good. It really is. It's useful things that you write about. It's not just all those guys with the six-pack abs.
There's some of us that contribute six-pack abs, and some of us, like me, are kind of past that. So, you know, we have to contribute something else.
Very good. Greg, thanks. We appreciate your time.
It's great to be here, Kate.
All right, you have a good one. I know that some of you could relate to this, so I thought that'd be funny. But the fact that he got sick, that's what intrigued me, that, you know, somebody got sick from a bad refrigerator, and then, as he was mentioning there on the air, that you could actually have a lawsuit, or all you have to do is threaten the productivity thing. If you want something done about it, you have a crappy old fridge in the break room. I know a lot of places are like that because they don't want to put any money into some fridge and they just let it go and let it go and let it go. You threaten that, he's right, and things will change, boom, almost overnight. Hey, coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about WikiLeaks and the fallout from that. I know, it's like beating a dead horse, isn't it? But this is a big one because it's only been since last week. It was last weekend when the story really broke, and it's no surprise, as to who the suspect is. Bradley Manning, we talked about him before. He was charged with the leak in the airstrike video. Remember this, the Fallujah thing that started to make the rounds? Well, now there's another guy who knows Bradley, and he's apparently the hacker who tipped off the feds as to what Bradley Manning was doing. We'll give you the skinny on the who, what, when, and why, all that stuff on WikiLeaks on the flip side. Stay with us.